So these days, Ajay-ji had been speaking about a crazy woman. And today, I would like to speak about a crazy guy. And somehow this crazy guy is someone whom I really love. And that really, really inspired me when I was pretty small. And since then, every day. And because for me, like, to speak about him is something very nice to do. Like, the reason I am speaking about him is because I enjoy so much speaking about him. That's why. And then hopefully at the same time you will also enjoy, or at least, you know, at least hopefully you will get something out of it, let's say, because I guess this is what we want, to get something out of everything we do, kind of. So this crazy guy is called St. Francis of Assisi, and he lived like a few hundred years ago. And happens that St. Francis, or friend Francesco, was like from a very rich family, from a noble family. And his father had one of the biggest businesses in that village in Assisi. And of course, like, Francesco had the heaviness of having to somehow follow the expectations of his father and all his family, to honor the name of his father, basically. And as a good young boy from a noble class, he had to go to the war at some point, to the Crusades. So, and that was, you know, at that time that was as if seen as something very good. Like, if you are rich and you have power, like, you are expected to go and fight for that. You are expected to go with your horses and, like, in honor of your village and your, you know, name, you have to go and fight, you know. So, as all his friends, he went to fight. But somehow happens that during this war, like, many questions started to arise in him. And also he became sick, and he had to come back home. And this coming back home, of course, was, let's say, like, was regarded as the last option for some young guy to have to come back home, like, leaving the war. Like, you either die in the war or you win, but you don't come back home, basically, in the middle of the war. Like. So, this is how crazy we are. So, luckily, like, he did something which made sense, and he came back home before dying on the field. So, he came back home and he was, like, totally sick, very, very, very sick, like, on the edge of dying, basically. So he was lying on bed, and for months, like, he was being taken care of with all the servants and his family. And somehow he was in a kind of a dreamy state, and the question that would arise the most between these dreams, or on these dreams, was like he would find himself screaming and saying, why, you know, and with images of war, of the war, and saying, why, you know, why this, why are we so, like, why are we doing that, you know, why to go and fight, you know, which kind of honor can that give to someone, you know, why? And of course, like, all his family was very worried about him. The only person who was heart-to-heart in touch with him was somehow his mother. And somehow his father was very much worried, but basically just wanting him to get better so that he could take on his business, you know, and he could work for him, you know. He could honor his name, basically. So he was not that worried about his son, but more about himself, you know. And so somehow mixed with this question of why, while he was lying on bed, like, he heard a song of a bird, like, who was just resting on his veranda. Like, very simple bird, was nothing exotic. Just pew pew. Like this. And actually, like, brown bird, like, you know, not this papagayus or something fancy, just brown little stupid bird, kind of, making pew-pew. But somehow this pew-pew was really hurt by his heart, you know. He really heard that pew-pew, you know. So, somehow that sound awakened him. Somewhere in him was not awakened before, and that sound made it awake. And from that moment, like, a new life started. And somehow it happens, like, as it happens always, that time when his new whole life started, was not the best time for a new whole life to start. I'm serious, you know. Like, you know, like, I wonder why, you know, we actually hear many times this pew pew, but we always feel that yes, I hear, but this is not right time for me to start to live fully, you know. Pew pew. Like, we hear, like, pew pew, and even if we really hear from all our heart, we say, yes, I'm able to hear, so now I know, so I will arrange everything, and next month for sure I will start living fully, you know, I will follow this pew pew, yeah. But somehow, even though the was not the best conditions, because best conditions, you know, doesn't exist, basically. Like, he heard that, and he couldn't do anything else but to follow his heart, you know. It's not like he stopped and think, you know, okay, I'm going to arrange everything, I'm going to talk with my father and with all my friends, and then I will leave everything, and I will live fully, like, a different way of living life. But he was just carried by that sound, who had, like, force, had, like, a very specific force, like, to pull him out of his habits, of what he knew till then. So it was not best time, but basically was his only time, you know. And from that sound, he decided to give time to that. Like, he decided to be stupid enough so that he will arrange his time so that he could lose time. He could be losing time by being in nature, like just by doing nothing and just being in nature. So that message was, there is something that I cannot see. There is something hidden, but that is in everything. So he decided to lose time just working on the fields and connecting with the trees and the clouds and the stones and butterflies and birds and flowers and earth and everything. And somehow, because he had been very, very sick, everyone agreed, okay, so he can do that for a while because he is recuperating, you know, getting his health and his strength back. So that's why his father didn't pay much attention. He said, okay, so just go and wander in the fields, you know, no problem. Just somehow he needs to get better. He's a little crazy now, but he will get better by doing so. So just go. But in that working on the fields, he discovered a new, totally different way of connecting to life, you know. Or in other words, like, he discovered life, you know. He discovered, we could say, life behind life, or life in life, or aliveness in the life. And time came when his father decided that now is enough of that, wandering on the fields, and now you have to come and I'm showing you all my things, like everything I own, and I'm giving this to you. So he took him and he showed all his factory of, they were making material, like very nice material for clothes, but very fancy, you know. So he showed all the factories and the machines and all the gold stored and everything to him. And he said, now, my son, all this is yours, you know. And because he said so, then Francis really took as real words, like, all this is mine, because my father give it to me, and he trusts me. So I don't see why I should have that much, and these people on the street are having that little. So I give it to everyone. So then, from the window, he starts throwing all these goodies from his father, and actually at that point, from him. He starts throwing it through the window to everyone who was wandering on the street. Everyone could just pick a piece and have it, you know. Why not? And of course, like, because he was, like, his father actually, like, even though he said that all this is yours, like, he really get mad. He got really, really mad at him, you know, like, what are you doing? And then he brought him to the police guy, you know, which at that time happens to be the bishop. We got that far, you know, like this, as many other spiritual traditions, we also got that far, you know, making the bishop to be the police guy. So, St. Francis, he went naked in the main square of the village because he had nothing to lose, because he found what to him was the best. He found this connection to life, so it was nothing that could be taken from him, you know. So he went naked to in front of everyone in the village. And also, I feel that we also keep kind of postponing that, like, we keep avoiding this being naked in front of everyone. We keep feeling, one day I will be fully myself and then I will express myself. But up to them, I need my clothes and my kind of everything that keeps, let's say, reminding me and others what I am, you know, which somehow is an invention, like, you know. So it seems that the same way that never seems to be a good time to start, to really hear the birth and move from there, it also seems that never is a good time to be ourselves and to allow ourselves to be naked, you know, with all its beauty and all its ugliness, if we want to say, you know, with whatever is. We prefer to cover it, you know. We prefer to choose, you know, to show what is nice and to hide what is not nice, you know, so that somehow we feel secure and tidy, no? You would say tidy? New word. And of course, like, in front of the whole village, the police guy and everyone was asking, like, why are you stealing from your father? What are you doing, you know? And he just said, like, I want to be happy, you know. I want to be like these birds on the sky. He said, like, if the goal of life is this coming and going, which fills our life, he said, then this is not for me, you know. He said, there is something better, he said. It needs to be something. Like, he said, we are spirit, we are soul, you know. Or in other words, using what Ajay was saying yesterday, like, he would simply say, like, if this coming and going that we are engaged with is the goal of life, then it's not for me. Like, I want to be in touch with this life force or with this consciousness which makes everything possible. And to me, the question is, like, not that much how to stop this mere, let's say, mere, how do you say? Oof. Mere coming and going, or this stupid coming and going, how to move from this nonsense coming and going to a sacred coming and going, you know. Like, he's not intending to do huge changes. He's not trying to completely live differently in the outer sense of what we do in life, but actually to live in a way so that whatever we do, even if that whatever, if the whatever we do is the same of with what we had been doing all our life, but to change from this like just moving along with the coming and going to the connected coming and going, you know. So it's not that much about, and it feels to me that this is somehow important, like that's not that much about changing our lives in our outer level. Like it's not about, okay, you know, I am a painter and now I have to change into being a photographer, or now, you know, now I was a computer wala and now I have to be a writer, or something like that, you know. But more really questioning that which I am doing now, how that could become sacred, you know, how that could be lived fully, you know, with all it is. It's not that it becomes sacred suddenly, it's just like that we fully live that, that like whatever that is, we fully connect with that, we fully allow this to be. They asked him, so what do you want to do, you know? He said, I saw few stones there in the valley behind the village. From those stones, I will build a temple for God. And he just went there and started building a temple of God. And the point is that, you know, like he was from a rich family, so he had no knowledge at all of how to build. Like, he didn't have any clue of how to build a house, even a house of God, you know. But still, he felt that that was the most important thing. Just whatever. He was just saying, like, whatever I do, I want to do it from a connected place. It's not that important what I do, even if it's like a tiny temple, it doesn't matter. But what I want to express is that whatever I do, this is sacred, like, and whatever is, this is sacred, you know. This is totality of what is. So he simply started with his hands without having any clue of how to build, and also with having the whole village somehow against him, you know, like everyone was saying, ah, you will be a failure, you know, how can you live there with nothing, you know, how can you even pretend to build something if you have no clue of how building and you only have two hands, and it gets cold in winter, you know, and hot in summer, so very soon you will come back to ask your father for some money, you know. But somehow he couldn't even think of another way of living. Also the same way that Mira was saying, you know. It's not that he had to do so, but that was the most joyful way of living that he could imagine. So was not from what we call renunciation, that he left everything and he went to that valley to build that temple, but from a place of abundance, from a place of just wanting to fully be alive, you know, just connected. And it feels to me that many times when we feel this kind of call of like this pew-pew of the bird, first we think, ah, but this is not the right time to follow that call. And then usually we think, ah, but somehow I also don't know actually how to follow that, because there are many things in life and I have this job and I have this partner that I don't know how to get rid of, and I have, you know, like all this house and this loan that I have to pay every month somehow, and all this, you know. So he also didn't knew how to, you know, like no one knows how to, you know, till we don't try, we don't know how to, you know. It's not that it's written somewhere, you know. And if it's written, it's somebody else's experience, but not really your own how to, you know. So it can be nice to read so that you can have some idea and feel that you are not totally alone. But also, it's very important that after reading it, we forget about it and we still do our own way, you know. And it's not that Francesco didn't have to go through a really cold winters and really hot summers, you know. And many times he had no clue of what was, how would the next step look like, you know. He just had to wait for something in his heart to whisper, like something about the next step, you know. And it feels to me that this is really, really accurate, you know, like really, like we would like to have a very nice plan of the whole way, you know. We have a map, we would like to have a map and see, okay, now I'm here, little bit upset, you know, but at least I know for sure, because I have my map written in front of me, that, you know, in 3 years that will be very nice, and then in 5 years that will be like heaven, and then this will come and that will, you know. But actually, this map is there, but really inside, you know, inside us. So what is that which could show us, which could whisper us, not the whole map, but the next step, or this very step, and then the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. And this connection is what I would say, like, the heart, like this coming into the heart and resting there, somehow has the potential to speak. And not only to speak, but to really show. And not only to show, but to actually manifest. So it seems to me that it's not that Francesco had special powers, you know, or special gifts that we don't have, you know. But more that he had somehow the courage to be authentic, you know. To flow with life, to experiment with life, to say yes to life. Without any reason to think that that would work. But still, why not for fun, you know? If this is the only thing I love to do, why not to do it? if all the other things I already tried and they don't really make sense, why not to say yes to something different? And one thing that I really also love about him is that every step he chose was a choice of happiness. And it feels to me like I see many times that we have this tendency that the more, like, in every step we do, it feels almost like the more suffering is there, like, more I think that is the right choice, I know. If there is no struggling, it almost feels like, come on, like, we have to choose something else, you know. Don't be, you know, like the proof that we are right, many times to ourselves, like, the proof that we are right is that there is some challenge and some suffering and some thing that we don't know how to deal with, you know. So he's telling us that every choice he made, every step he made, was a choice and step of happiness, you know. He moved towards that because of that felt the highest happiness for him. Like, the best he could imagine himself in, you know. And of course, to the rest of the world, it was seen as the opposite, you know. This crazy guy, you know, just left this comfortable home to be, like, almost naked in the snow and barefoot and having to go around and asking for food to eat. Like, if we think it's actually, like, sorry, but this is not a good choice, you know. Just please go back to your father and ask for money, you know. But he chose that because that really was what brought him that joy that he was looking for. And somehow that simplicity is not like it needs to be like this at all. It helped him to remember this possibility of connection. So it's not like that it needs, whatever we do in spiritual life, it needs to look austere and simple at all, you know. But it needs to look whatever we are more happy, you know, doing. Whatever is best, whatever brings joy to us, that is the best looking, you know. And for each of us, that would be different. And this is what I feel is so rich about life, you know. That there is no one specific way that spiritual life should look like. But more like, what brings you this memory of connection? What brings you this sense of fluidity? What brings you this sense of joy? What makes you smile? So go this way. In the San Francis of Assisi film, one of them, there are many. I remember I saw that film when I was 11 years old. And I was a very, how to say, like, not easy child, you know. I wouldn't, like, last thing I would want for myself is to have to be, like, any of the teachers of myself, you know. Because I really make them to have a bad time, kind of. So, that kind of child I was. and very, you know, I was uncomfortable with life, you know. I kind of kept on feeling that everyone was lying to me, you know, that I was asking, like, what is life about? And then they were answering, well, like, 2 and 2 are 4, and then, you know, 3 plus 2 are 5, and I was, yes, that could be, I don't see why that is interesting, but that could be interesting, but what I'm actually asking is, what is life about? And then, actually, Napoleon went there, and so, totally out, you know, I was asking something very clear, and they were, like, escaping all the time, so I was not happy with these answers. And I was somehow expressing that I was not happy with this answer. So that was not easy for the poor teacher who had the program and had to go with those answers, you know. So anyway, I remember seeing that video, that somehow I was lucky enough that one of my teachers decided that this video should be seen at the age of 11. And one day, happy news were that they said, today instead of class, we are going to see a video of St. Francis of Assisi. And I thought, okay. And then I was looking that, and really, like, when Francesco was speaking, like, I started crying. Like, these tears, was not clear yesterday which kind of tears those were in the end, but I can say that those were, like, tears of joy. Like, probably my first tears of joy. Of for the first time recognizing, like seeing with my own eyes, that someone was expressing exactly the same that my whole heart was feeling, you know, like exactly the same. So I was crying, and afterwards I asked this copy of this video, you know, to this teacher, and I had this copy, and then, like, I think for 3 years, I was looking at this video every single day. And, you know, that was my refuge, my everything, my life was this, you know. So actually, like, now is not appropriate, but if you want, I can just make the video, all the actors I know. every single actor says, I know. So, if someday we have time, I can do that. But I always feel like that saved my life, you know. I don't know where I would be without this Francesco saying, this doesn't make sense, we have to look for something else. So let's move and look for something else, you know. And so it was the first time that I thought, so I don't only need to ask what is life about, but actually I can look in and ask myself, what is life about? You know, I can go in and discover by myself what is life about. And from there, everything else begin. There are many, but this is one. Brother, Son, Sister Moon, the film.
Is that the one?
Yeah, this is the one. And then, so in that film, sorry, I got lost. In that film, there is a moment where, like, it shows, like, there is Sunday and there is Mass going on. There is the Mass going on in the village, and there is the Mass going on in the tiny church that Francesco and his friends had built. And in the church built in the church on the village, you see, like, all this, everyone is dressed with gold and precious stones, and the benches have the names of the people, like, depending on their money, basically, like, first bench, like, family, such and such, then second, and like this. And poor people are not are not allowed to go in the church because they could pass some of their disease, you know. So you can see that there is a lot of money involved. But what you feel actually is a huge, like, what you feel is something very poor, you know. And next image is the church, the tiny church that Francesco had built. And everyone is poor there. And the songs they are singing, they are like kind of our songs, that sometimes they are in tune and sometimes they are not, you know, what to do. But still everyone singing from the heart, you know. And then there are people, they don't have money, but they bring like one chicken and one duck and vegetables and everything to share with the community, you know. So people are dressed like, let's say, poorly, but what you feel is a big sense of abundance, you know. Everything is shared and people care for each other. And in the same way, like, when it rains, like, if we are concerned about, like, why it is raining now, when I, exactly now that I have to go to buy some chocolate, so why now, if I have to go there, like, it's a bad joke, you know? But somehow, like, the way it's possible to take it is like, ah, now it's raining, so I can enjoy getting wet. And this is what Francesco is speaking about also, possibility of taking in whatever is as a gift. And somehow this whatever is really means whatever is, you know. It doesn't mean like whatever I like, then it's good, whatever I don't like, then it's not good, you know. But whatever is, I can sing with that. I can dance with that. So that life can be a joyful act, you know. Can be lived instead of like kind of programmed or thought about, but not actually, never allowing ourselves to get wet. Somehow it feels like that we are all ready to accept this gravity law. No? We all accept that if I throw this, like, this will fall. I guess, no? I also agree that if I let go of this, this will fall, you know? And somehow, Francesco and every other person with experience would say, like, this is not the last word. I know that all we have seen up to now is that if I let go of this, this falls. I don't do with this, but if I let go of this, this falls. There is no other way, you know, we all agree. And people with experience, even those that they are not called saints, or Francescos, or Miras, or any other name that we know of, what they say is, this is not the last word. There is a possibility that I let go of this, and this goes up. And so this is also what I feel like saying, that just not to think that what we know is the last word, because life can really surprise us. And that which always went down, like, even though we haven't seen it going up, somehow it's made to go up. Weird enough, but somehow it's made to go up. So, this is my invitation. Just see if that goes up and comes to its own home. So, I don't know if is there any question or something that you want to say?